2 days ago, I was fawning all over this article because it is very good, from the Minnesota Reformer. It's an article from Eric Harris Bernstein. Eric Bernstein is the progressive policy analyst focused on state tax and budgetary policy. Since the summer of 2020, he's been the policy director for We Make Minnesota, a coalition of labor and community groups organizing to raise state revenue for investments in healthcare, education, racial equity, sustainable environmental stewardship, and other public priorities. The article that he wrote is, "The GOP tax plan is tilted to the rich." It's an opinion. Actually, what it is a fantastic statistical analysis, something we used to get all the time when it came to a tax bill, that the newspapers used to do this, and they haven't done it in 30 years. So it was an absolute delight to go through Eric's column and get his insight into the Republican tax bill that came out of the Minnesota Senate. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about that article. Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Matt, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here with you as well, because it's something that I'm glad you do. I've seen this for years. Republicans will come on out, they'll pitch a tax bill, they'll say everyone gets a tax break, but when you look behind the numbers, it really is grossly unfair, loaded to where the wealthiest people get the vast majority, and most people, if they even get a tax break, can only afford Funyun and Yoo-hoos, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I do, before the conversation goes any further, want to say that, you know, I was very happy to put together this analysis and, you know, come up with some figures for how much regular people will save versus, you know, wealthy people. But really, I owe it to the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy, which did this analysis. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the distribution analysis of how much, you know, the top 20% gets versus the bottom 20%, et cetera. And since this are the statistics in this article came out, we actually also got the Senate's own analysis, which really confirms what's in the article, which is that, you know, people earning over $125,000-$150,000 a year get the largest chunk of this Republican proposed tax cut.
Well, is it a safe assumption to say that because of this article, this commentary that you wrote for Minnesota Reformer, that they might as well not hide it anymore? So they finally came forward with it, because reality is a lot of times they won't release the details on this. And you did something, like I said, that you generally don't see media do anymore. You put forward the statistical analysis that showed indeed that this was not a fair tax code.
Well, I was far from the first person to point it out. So as much as I'd love to take credit for it, I don't know. The Minnesota Budget Project has put out some great information based on the same estimates by ITEP. And, you know, a lot of our elected, you know, sort of left-leaning members of the legislature have also been, you know, talking about how regressive it is. I get what you're saying, that, you know, we don't see these statistical analyses all the time. But I think the public's recently, after all the inequality and after 2008 and, you know, more recent events, the Trump tax cuts, I think we've started to wisen up to the fact that, you know, these tax cuts are very top heavy and they don't benefit us. But I'm really glad that that this article's gotten some play and people have read it and gotten the idea that this is, you know, certainly wrong for working Minnesotans.
I posted this on Tuesday. I'll post it again on Thursday. Let's go through this a little bit. You start off with the obvious, which is, and once again, I'm going to compare it to what Republicans say. Everyone qualifies for a tax cut. But then you point out at the very beginning here with the income tax. Minnesota exempts the first several thousand dollars of income from taxation, meaning most of Minnesota's lowest earning taxpayers won't benefit from the Republican plan. I mean, that's the, and they know it. It's not like they're surprised by this themselves, but yet they don't mind selling their tax plan, even though they already know that they've made a tax plan that the lowest earners are just not going to get anything.
Yeah, and I have to say the Senate heard their big omnibus tax bill on the Senate floor today, and it actually got even sillier, because what they kept talking about was the percent tax cut that everyone's getting. And so, you know, obviously low-income filers who pay very, you know, zero or very, very little taxes, you know, they might get a tax break that's technically 100% of their tax liability. But if that tax liability was $100 a year or $50 a year, they're getting like a dollar or two back every week. It's really not much of a tax cut. But Senator Carla Nelson, who's the chair of the Senate Tax Committee, kept saying, oh, look, it's 100% tax cut for the people at the bottom. The people at the bottom are getting the biggest benefit. Meanwhile, people at the top are saving $1,000 a year or more. So, yeah, it's pretty silly all around the way that they try to sell it as a middle-class benefit.
A common Republican tactic when it comes to lower incomes, quote, the percentage, quote, the money, and when it comes to higher, quote, the percentage, because they don't want people to understand the numbers that they're throwing around with millionaires
exactly.
and billionaires. So they basically, they'll say they're getting 100% return. It's $50, so basically, you know, that's not even Funyuns and Yoohoo. That's Lifesavers, maybe, or a Tic Tac. That's about it.
Yep.
Nowadays.
Yep.
It should be noted, we're talking about the lowest income, but, and once again, this is because of that initial starting point that many people are kind of, that they're exempt on those taxes. They don't get the returns on them or get a minimal return. It really doesn't kick in until quite a bit of income before you start seeing real benefits from the tax code that the Republicans put forward.
Yeah, that's right. That's the kind of the first figures I presented there in the thing. You know, it depends on if you're single or married or you have, one or two or three kids. But for someone to get any benefit, they've got to make, assuming they're single with no children, they've got to make about $13,000 a year. And for a married couple with two kids to get any benefit, they've got to make $34,000 over that, $34,700. And there's hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans, as it turns out, that don't make that that amount. And I think, according to the Senate analysis, at least it's more than 540,000 Minnesotans would receive no benefit from the GOP tax plan. And of course, those are all the lowest earning Minnesotans. So it really leaves out the people that, that need help the most.
You also go on in your second chart here. You talk about the lower income households are much likely to benefit from the GOP tax cut, including nearly 2/3 of taxpayers in the lowest earning quintile that are left out. To really see anything, I mean, by the looks of this chart, you really got to be over $60,000 a year. Then you start seeing some real tax benefit. But still, if you really want the real tax benefit, you got to be over $100,000.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And then, I'm happy to talk more about the distributional, how it benefits the top versus the bottom. But, I think another point, the point that I kind of end on in the piece is that even for the highest earners or high middle earners, a lot of them are going to save a lot of money. They're not going to, because I don't think this will become law, but they would save a lot of money under this plan. But I think, an even broader point that's worth mentioning is that really for anyone, you're talking about saving between $10 and $40 on a biweekly paycheck. $40 every paycheck, that's a lot of money. That's certainly, I don't want to say that that's just pennies, but it's really not enough when you understand that childcare costs $200 to $300 every week, that housing is totally unaffordable, that people can't afford rent, that people, don't have access to good transit. The idea that getting even $20 back every week, which is what some of the higher income earners would get under the income tax proposal, even that really is not going to change anyone's circumstances. They're not going to address the big problems of, underfunded schools, understaffed hospitals, lack of transit, long-term environmental concerns, no access to childcare and housing, all these fundamental things that make life livable, not to mention parks and libraries that make life enjoyable. These small amounts of money that we can return in tax cuts, they're not going to allow anyone to access those things that really make for a stable, fulfilling life. And I think that's kind of the even maybe bigger point underlying all of this, which is that tax cuts just don't these small tax cuts, they don't benefit us, or big tax cuts, I should say.
Well, and we can go on the opposite side of that, too, because we can bring it back around. Because now what you're doing is, okay, so you're sacrificing doing better budgetary things to help out the society as a whole to basically give people, $5, $10 per week,
exactly.
Back on this. And so in turn, what you're looking at is, okay, sure, If you are on the high end of that and you get the $1,040 for the full year, you get the $1,040, $1,000 back, sure, that might get you a few weeks of daycare and stuff, and that might sound like, oh, that sounds like a pretty good deal, but the roads in front of your house don't get fixed. The daycare is more expensive. And the ability for the state then, because the Republicans have depleted the funds, giving out nonsense checks that really are not going to give anyone the leg up that they insist it does, it prevents the Democrats from coming back in and saying, well, we need to fix this. And they say, well, there's no money for it. And that's right. The problem is it comes back around. It's not only is the money gone and so you're not going to get the benefits from this, but then when someone tries to, because they handed out all this money in this way, primarily to a handful of wealthy people who, frankly, have had 40 years of these tax breaks, they don't really need anymore. You prevent as well the other side from trying to fix the disparities down the road.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think it's funny because, you know, Republicans this entire session have been screaming about this historic surplus. And I know you've mentioned it on the show before, $9.2 billion. It's this historic surplus, but it's not like we've, you know, made any plans to fix schools that are getting less funding per pupil than they were two decades ago, or to catch up on all the bridges that need repair and all the water systems that need repair and remove lead pipes and all this really basic stuff. You know, a lot of schools don't have a nurse, or they have one nurse for thousands of students. You know, all this basic stuff we're not doing. We've not made any plans to use this surplus. So to even call it a surplus is sort of, you know, silly. And some people on Twitter have used a hashtag that I like. I might botch it. It's like, it's not a surplus if, or something like that, or what surplus. You know, it's not a surplus if there's not a nurse in every school, if we're still drinking water from lead pipes and, you know, all these other basic needs that we haven't taken care of. So it's like we're going to scream about this surplus and then, you know, Republicans want to give a bunch of it back to rich people. And then they're going to blame, you know, like you said, just blame the system for not working when people are unhappy. So it's a really ugly cycle. And I hope that we can break it, you know, this year and this election and use some of this money for what we really need it for.
By the way, and I want to give you credit. That's one of the things I love about this commentary is that it does bring up that point. Sure, you get the money for the Funyun and the Yoo-hoo, but you're not going to get a car payment. You're not going to get a college class. You're not going to get a daycare off. And so you know, be careful here with the snake charmers out there trying to sell this to you, because it's not going to work. One thing I want to take some time with too, and I don't know how much of the numbers you have here, but I want to talk about this to make sure we understand the ludicrous nature of this Republican tax plan. On the other end of it, the high end of this, I mean, how much money they will get. I mean, once again, wealthy people, they're wealthy. I'm not saying that the inflation and the economy is not tough on everyone, but they've got the money to get through these problems. And so giving them a massive tax break is not there. Can you talk a little bit about the numbers of the wealthiest Minnesotans, how much money the Republicans would be rolling up to their front door in a wheelbarrow?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on, so there's two proposals. One is this income tax proposal, which is to cut the first bracket in half. And people hear first bracket, they think it's going to the bottom. But the point is everyone pays the first bracket. And then if you make enough, you pay the second bracket. And if you make enough, you pay the third bracket. So it benefits everyone everyone who pays into that bracket, including rich people who obviously pay into every bracket because they make, you know, that much money. And I think that, you know, one of the figures that we cited was that it's about $1 billion a year going to the top 20%. And the Senate has, I can send it to you if you want to post it on your website or whatever, has more kind of detailed breakouts. And, you know, that, you know, you can see there, and some senators made good points today. Like, for example, I'll just say that $335 million would go to people making between $150,000 and $250,000 a year. Another $123 would go to people making between $250,000 and $500,000 a year. And then people making more than $500,000 a year would get almost $50 million. So you add those all up and it's about, you know, it's well over $500 million going to people making over $150,000 every year. And, you know, in the Senate today, they kept saying year after year, week after week. And to me, that's an argument against it, not an argument for it. And so, yeah, it's spending an enormous amount of money on people who already are doing very, very well and who have done well during the pandemic, while lower and middle income folks have, you know, really struggled.
let's, you know, to wrap this up, let's just get rid of the travesty, the fallacy, the lie that trickle-down economics actually exist. Because it just doesn't. We've had 40 years of Republicans insisting shovel as much money at the wealthy people and it will come down. And all we've seen in 40 years is the wealthy people have become obscenely wealthy and the rest of us are actually worse off than we were than when Reagan was the White House because until recently with the revolt of the workers. But the reality is that, you know, the wages, the benefits, they have gotten worse for most of us while the wealthy people have basically hoarded all the tax dollars that they've gotten and not trickled it down.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, corporate profits are on the rise and, you know, wages finally grew a little bit, but there's also a lot of the emphasis, you know, there's a lot of analysis out there that as soon as there was this inflation excuse, then CEOs started jacking up prices. And there was a great Twitter thread a couple weeks ago about all these, you know, they're bragging in their quarterly earnings calls about how much they've raised prices, which is, you know, a big part of what's going on with inflation. So the economy has, you know, really been geared to benefit, as you say, the wealthy few and over the many. And we're all suffering for it. And you know, we also have a lot of long-term challenges. If I could just quickly mention, sure. You know, there was a big IPCC report earlier this week that just talked about long-term climate threats and how, you know, bad it's going to get in so many different regions. Minnesota farmers struggling with drought and then flood. And other long-term problems. The chair of the House Tax Committee, Paul Marquardt, who's announced his retirement but was a great leader there for many years, he makes the point about our long-term demographic challenges. Our country and our state are getting older. We have a smaller workforce, which means we need to do more to make sure that everyone has the education and the preparation and can get to work. They can get, you know, transit to work. They can have someone take care of their kids so they can go work. So we have these longer term problems that require our collective problem solving. And that's what the government is here for. And Republicans just want to starve it of the revenue it needs to do those things. And worst of all, they want to send it to the rich and, you know, just make our economy, as you said, even more unequal.
They get their campaign donations and then they get the cushy lobbying gig when they're done. It's the payoff. I mean, it used to be you cared about the constituents. Republicans haven't cared about the constituents for 20 years. Absolutely. I'll stand by that all day long. And they're only in it for themselves. And that's just kind of, and that tax bill kind of shows it. It just is there. Yep. They just got to disguise it and hide it. And your analysis, once again, your commentary was top notch. We Make Minnesota. He's the policy director for We Make Minnesota. I'll link to all that stuff. By the way, if you have anything, Eric, that you want to send me and get me to post, I'll do it in a heartbeat. So send it on over. I'll make sure I get it out for the listeners out there. Eric Bernstein, kind enough to join us. Once again, the article is in the Minnesota Reformer. I'll link to it again tonight. Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks. It was my pleasure. Great talking to you.